Chapter 12. Amphitrite and Caeneus. Caeneus has only ever had two loves in his life. First is the sea. He's loved her his whole life, heard her siren song from the time he had long, curly hair, and still tolerated being put in dresses and called a girl. He loves the sea like his parents go to temple, in an unmovable and inexplicable way that he no longer questions. The second is Poseidon, foolish but so achingly kind. He's a man who professes his wish to master the sea without ever really understanding it. And Caeneus smiles and kisses the stress lines from his brow, but does not worry. The sea has never loved him back, and it never will. She is power and coldness and loss, and her beauty is in her tragedy. Poseidon is warmth and thoughtfulness and strong hands on his hips. He is nothing like the sea, and he will never rule it. Caeneus knows this, and he's relieved by it. Poseidon loves him back. Poseidon is not the sea. Then he wakes up to his lover's lips on his neck, cold enough that he flinches away from the sensation, and for a terrifying moment he doesn't recognize the person touching him as the man he loves. "I can do it now," he whispers, and cool fingers splay against his waist. "I can make you the man you want to be." Caeneus wants the body that men usually have, wants people to stop looking at him and seeing a woman. But if Poseidon had asked, he would have told him. Caeneus would choose his lover over a new body, would rather live as he does now than have Poseidon harm himself for his benefit. But he did not ask, so Caeneus closes his eyes and accepts the gift his lover is so eager to give him. Amphitrite has never had a heart before. She was the sea, and what she desired, she took. Men, women, she wanted, and she had, and then she moved on. But the heart in her chest is softer, warmer. It turns her pearl-hued skin pink and makes her swim to the surface to watch the sunset, makes something like empathy stir in her, when before all she had was selfishness. The heart in her chest is in love, and she thought it was something she could control, something she could stop. It's not. There will be one day when she masters this heart in her chest, but it is not yet. She spends hours following Caeneus as he sails her seas, guides fish into his net, and feels her borrowed heart beat that much faster whenever he peers into the ocean and she catches sight of his gorgeous amber eyes. So she says to Poseidon, "You spend too much time on shore for a god of the sea." He glances at her, and his eyes are green just like hers, are cold and uncaring just like hers used to be. She wonders what her eyes look like now.
"Caeneus is on the shore."
"Bring him here, if you're so concerned with your mortal," she says, focusing on weaving shells into her hair and giving the impression that she couldn't care less what he does with his mortal plaything. "The palace is big enough." He stops and turns to her, eyebrow raised.
"You do not mind me bringing him here?"
"Do with your mortal as you wish," she repeats, and stamps down on the trembling joy in her chest. "It is no concern of mine." Caeneus doesn't know how to love a god of the sea. He knew how to love Poseidon, Take him into the water to watch the sunrise. Feed him warm, sweet drinks, and let him curl around him at night and listen to his stories of his siblings, of impossible gods who do impossible things. But now he sits in a palace underwater, with his own room and the freedom to see the other side of the ocean he loves so dearly. There are no sunsets here, no cocoa to barter for, and Poseidon doesn't tell him stories anymore. Poseidon still loves him. He kisses him and holds his hips when they sleep together, and keeps him by his side while he crosses the sea and gains more and more control over this domain that he now commands. Poseidon still loves him, he tells himself, when he itches to return to the surface and the home Poseidon built for him, the life he built for himself. He doesn't want to be a consort of the King of Sea. He just wants to be Caeneus, a man who loved a man and was loved in return, a man who loved the sea even though it would never love him back. The sea will never love him back. He's known that since he was a child. So the real question is, how much of the Poseidon he knew is left, and how much of him is the depths of the ocean? There's a hurricane that requires her husband's attention, and even he is not so foolish as to bring his lover to a place as dangerous as that, which means it's the perfect time for her to run into him in the interior gardens, as he stares up through the iridescent seaweed to the rays of sunlight that just manage to penetrate the water. "Do you miss it?" she asks him, and he startles, swinging around to face her and stumbling away. "My lady," he says, and falls to his knees before her, bowing his head. It's what she expects of all mortals, but not from him. Never from him. The heart in her chest loves him, and if it's not her heart, well, the rest of her doesn't know the difference. "A thousand apologies." "You are welcome here," she says, and smiles. She's never smiled quite like this before. She's never felt quite like this before. Fond and fluttery and so painfully eager that it would be embarrassing if she ever dared articulate it. It's a wonder Poseidon managed to get anything done at all if this is what he had in his chest. He looks up, hesitant, and she holds out her hand. He takes it, and she pulls him to his feet. Pulls him closer until they're nearly touching, and he's forced to look up into her eyes or be stuck staring at her chin. He's warmer than her. She can feel the heat pouring off him in waves, and she wants him to hold her in his arms so she can languish against him like she would a sun-warmed rock. Before she had a heart, she took who and what she wanted, when she wanted it. Now she has a heart, and she takes his hands in both of hers and says, "Would you like to visit the surface? I can take you and bring you back before my husband returns." He's hesitant because he's afraid of her. Caeneus will never love her, because although she holds the heart he loves, she is not the person the heart belongs to. Not that he knows any of that. Not that anyone will ever know the details of her and Poseidon's arrangement. But she doesn't want Caeneus to be afraid of her. She wants him to smile at her like she is a sunrise. "Yes, please," he decides on finally. She stands and watches as he walks through his home, as he touches the hearth and looks longingly at the bed, as he stands in the small cottage that he clearly prefers over her palace, over all the riches and adoration that comes with being consort to the sea. Caeneus is a simple man, whose heart loves with a simple love. He is a man whose heart loves someone who now has no heart, and Amphitrite can't bring herself to tell him. She's the one who took it away, and she won't give it back. She likes having a heart, and one day she will need to return it. But not now. Not yet. Not for a long time. Canius lies beside Poseidon, curled up so his head rests on the god's outflung arm, and he can watch his chest rise and fall as he sleeps. There are bruises on Canius's hips and down his chest, bite marks on his shoulder and up his neck. It's not the first time his lover has been rough with him, and he doesn't mind. He likes that Poseidon doesn't touch him like he's afraid he'll break. Likes that whenever he's rough, he's careful enough with his strength not to ever cross the line from bruising to breaking. It's different than it used to be. It's been different for a long time. Ever since Poseidon somehow convinced the lady to hand over her title as monarch, to share her power with him for no reason that Canius can see. It's not love between them. Because the sea does not love. But she got something out of it. Something valuable enough to bargain away part of her power. And as soon as she did, the man Canius loves ceased to exist. He slips out of bed and rubs angrily at his eyes. He can't do this anymore. Can't sleep and live with this man who has his lover's face and memories and nothing else. He knows this palace well, and everyone else knows him, too. The servants don't question him, only offer shallow bows before hurrying on his way. He's a fisherman who lives on the outskirts of society. He's not any sort of person that people were meant to bow to. He stands in front of an ornate set of carved doors, the beautiful shimmering inside of a mussel shell of impossible size. Two guards stand at each door, but neither move to stop him as he pushes it open and slips inside. "Lady," he whispers. Large bioluminescent carvings flare to life all across the room, bathing them in soft golden green light. Amphitrite pulls herself out of bed, green hair loose around her and the rest of her on display, pale and flawless, as perfect an example of a beautiful woman as Canius has ever seen. And he averts his gaze. "Lady." "So modest," she teases. And when he glances over, she's in a simple white robe and pulling her hair up behind her. She looks vulnerable like this. Almost like his mother did when she would rouse him and his father from sleep in the darkness of the early morning so they could catch fish while they were still sleeping. "What's going on, Canius? I thought my husband had exclusive rights to your knights." She winks, and he forces a smile. He walks over to her, takes her hands in his because he knows she likes how warm he runs compared to her, and her smile slips off her face. "Please," he whispers. "Poseidon is different than he once was, and I want to know why. Please." She shouldn't tell him, but the heart in her chest loves him, and she loves him too. Thinks she would, even without Poseidon's heart influencing her. So she tells him, and when he starts crying, she brushes away his tears, and he doesn't stop her. "He'll never love you like he once did," she tells him. "It's not that he doesn't want to, he just can't." "The sea doesn't love you back," he says, because he knows, because he's a skilled sailor, because he's one of the people who has worshipped her his whole life without ever expecting anything back, because that's what an ocean gives back, nothing at all. Can I give you my heart?" She stares. "Excuse me?" "Let me give you my heart," he pleads, "so that I may hold Poseidon's in my chest. You can have mine. I know I'm only a mortal." You're all mortal to me, she says. Because 100 years, 1,000, 10,000, what does it matter? She and Gaia were around long before gods and humans, and they'll be around long after them. If I give you Poseidon's heart, you will become a god. He pales and flinches away from her. He's not in this for power. This was never about power to him. It was always about love. Lady, I'm not trying to... I don't want that. If you become a god, she continues, because she loves him, and that means she wants him to be happy, even at her own expense, you will be alive when the time comes for me to reclaim my title of monarch. One day I will take back my heart from Poseidon, will reclaim the cold black thing in his chest as my own. And when I do, he will no longer be master of the sea. When I do, you can give him back his heart, and he will love you as he loved you before, as he will always love you. Caeneus has a hand over his chest, and there's so much hope shining in his eyes that it's almost painful to look at. Please, lady, please, I love him. Let me carry his heart. Let me have him back once you're done. I'll wait. It will be a long time, she answers honestly. Empires will rise and fall before I'm willing to give this up. Before Poseidon will be willing to give up his power over the sea. I will wait, Caeneus repeats. I love him. If you have my heart, maybe you will grow to love him too. If you have my heart, you'll protect him. You'll keep him safe. Amphitrite loves Caeneus, and Caeneus loves Poseidon. And Poseidon is incapable of loving anyone at all. Very well, she whispers. Because a heart is a heart. And just like Poseidon, she's unable to deny Caeneus anything. She breaks open her chest and takes out the warm, beating heart of Poseidon. She slits open Caeneus's chest for him and holds him upright while he struggles to take out his heart and clumsily places it into her chest. She heals over instantly and nestles Poseidon's heart in Caeneus's ribcage. He, too, heals over, and his eyes flash with power as the heart settles inside him. Caeneus becomes so much more than a mortal man in that moment. This heart doesn't feel too different. She still loves Caeneus because she's capable of loving, and he is worthy of it. Go, she says. Say your goodbyes and leave. If you stay, he'll just continue hurting you, and in a few thousand years he'll hate himself for it. Leave now and spare both of you that pain. He leans forward and cups her face in his hands, kissing her on each cheek. Thank you, he breathes, and then he's gone. Caeneus can feel the power of a god flowing into him, but he doesn't care about that. The only reason he's glad he's a god now is so he'll live long enough to get Poseidon back, to get the Poseidon who loves him back. He goes back to where Poseidon is sleeping and takes a long, careful look. It will be a long time before he sees this man again. He kisses him on the lips, softly and carefully, the way Poseidon first kissed him when he thought he was sleeping. Then he leaves, stepping outside the palace and using his newly gained powers to bring himself to the shore. Poseidon is furious. But Amphitrite won't budge, says only that Caeneus left. He throws a tantrum, and half the palace is lost in the aftermath. But she does not care. She doesn't tell him that she no longer carries his heart. It doesn't matter. Caeneus's heart beats in her chest, and she sits on her throne amongst the rubble, and does nothing more than sigh at the way he threatens to tear the world apart looking for his lover. It will pass. The depth and coldness of the sea is unable to sustain such fits of wild passion. Years pass. Rumors reach them of a sea god, one who is known for rescuing sailors and fishermen from storms. One who they say used to be a mortal fisherman himself. They call him Glaucus. They say he swallowed a magical herb to become a god. She smiles when she hears these rumors, and thankfully Poseidon has long given up trying to get her to explain herself. The rumors are only half right, but she likes hearing them nonetheless. It comforts her to hear that Caeneus is well.